Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
Bible cracked and faded by the years. Remember me in a sanctuary filled with silent prayer. And age to age and heart to heart, bound by grace and peace, child of wonder, child of God, I remembered you. Remember me. Remember me when the colors of a sunset fills the sky. Remember me when you pray and tears of joy fall from your eyes. And age to age and heart to heart, bound by grace and peace, child of wonder, child of God, I remembered you. Remember me. Remember me when the children leave their Sunday schools with smiles. Remember me when they're old enough to teach, old enough to preach, old enough to leave. And and heart to heart, bound by grace and peace, child of wonder, child of God, I remember you. Remember me. Remember me.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Jana. Wow, that song is powerful because a lot of the songs we've sang today have just really lined up with what we're doing today. And I know some of it was by choice and a lot of it was just how the Holy Spirit puts things together. But today we are truly here to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as Jana just sang, He remembers us. In fact, the Bible says in Malachi that a book of remembrance has been written. And so God bottles up every tear, and He knows our thoughts from afar off. He knows every detail of your life this morning. He knows your struggles. He knows the things you're praying for. He knows the very details of your life individually, but He is able to take that piece of that puzzle from eternity's past and place your life into the big puzzle of eternity's future and of your future even now and today. That is the God that we serve. If you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, this is the Ancient of Days, Part 3, and we're going to pick up in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. It'll be a brief message, and then following the message, we'll take the Lord's Supper. And you may be visiting with us today, and you may be asking yourself, I wonder if they have closed communion today. Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody should tell us. Well, I'll do that. We believe that if you are born again and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that the command was given by Jesus Himself. It was not given by us. And He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of Me. So you are welcome to take the elements today, the Lord's Supper, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you may be in here today and say, well, I'm not real sure if Jesus is my Savior. Well, let me tell you, the blood and the bread was given for sinners. And so every one of us have at one time had to accept Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, and we would invite you to do that today as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So look at verse 13, Daniel chapter 7. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came, now watch this, He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him. Two capital H's right there. Verse 14. Then to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. You can see the gospel unfolding, by the way. That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Now, skip on over to verse 21, same chapter. Now, this is the third place that we see the Ancient of Days in chapter 7. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints, that's the Antichrist, and prevailing against them. Now, I love verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Wow, a lot of information in chapter 7. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray this morning, Lord, that we will have a high and exalted view of You. God, that we will see You as the sovereign God, as majesty, as all of the names in Isaiah 9:6, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful, Almighty God. You are everything, Lord, that we need. And You are everything, Lord, that we are to worship. It's all found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're picking up where we left off couple of weeks ago, and so some of this look a little familiar on your outline, and but we didn't quite make it that far, so this has turned into three messages on the Ancient of Days, and I think we'll conclude that this morning. And I heard a story of a little boy that was in church, and he and his mom had gone to church, and they were sitting in the pew, and the preacher was preaching. A title of the message was, What is a Christian? And so the preacher, every time he would say, What is a Christian? He'd pound the pulpit. And he'd say, What is a Christian? And he continued to preach, and this little boy was just listening. He was all ears, and every time the minister would ask that question and pound the pulpit, well, it would almost shake that little boy. So eventually the little boy leaned over to his mama and said, Mama, do you know? Do you know? And she said, Yes, dear, I know. Sit down and be quiet. And so the preacher continued to preach, and then eventually at nearly the close of the sermon, the preacher yelled it out one more time, and he said, What is a Christian? And he pounded the pulpit, and the little boy couldn't hold it any longer, and he leaped up on his feet, and he began to yell out and point at his mama, saying, tell him, mama, what a Christian is, tell him, mama. Well, when we're reading in the Ancient of Days, is sometimes what we tend to do, if we're not careful, we tend to complicate Scripture. We tend to read it and get it so complicated that we miss the message of the Scripture. And I don't want you to be in complexity today. Now, it's hard to do when I'm up here preaching, but I don't want you to get complex today. I want you to see this for what God wants you to see. Now, look at the verse in chapter 7, verse 13. And the first point in your outline is this. And now, 2 weeks ago, we saw the Ancient of Days in the Father. Now, remember, you can't separate the Son and the Father. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. If you go to Exodus, you can look at chapter 23 and 24, and you can see a passage in 23:21, Exodus 23:21, where He says that the angel will lead you. That angel was Christ. That was a Christophany. It's the Christ, our Lord. And He says that I will be in Him. It'll be His words. It'll be my name that is in Him. Okay? Jesus is the essence of God. Now, here's what the devil will do. The devil will whisper in your ear, and the devil will tell you that Jesus is a little bit less than God. The devil will tell you that Jesus is just a really good man. That Jesus is not quite as powerful as the Father. Don't you listen to those lies from the enemy. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is as fully God as God the Father, and He is the Ancient of Days, and the Father is the Ancient of Days, and Jesus Christ has been given power and a dominion and an everlasting kingdom, and He was given that because of what He did for you and I sitting in this church today. He identified with man for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that was our salvation. If you go through life and miss salvation in Jesus Christ and you are never born again, you've missed the essence of what a Christian is. The very essence of Christianity is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the essence of it. Now, so the Ancient of Days in the Son, and here's the first point. Jesus is the one coming with the clouds of heaven. Now, watch this. Look at verse 13. I was watching in the night visions. By the way, there was one commentator said that you can almost imagine that Daniel is having these night visions, kind of like for us when we watch something on TV, there was a director. Just imagine that the director was angelic and that there was all of this images and all of these photographs and that are coming by, and Daniel is seeing all these things. God is taking something deep. He is taking something spiritual, and He is making it known by revelation to the prophet Daniel so that Daniel can understand using signs and different things. He is showing Daniel images that point and words to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He would do. So here's Daniel. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one, if your translation has that word one right there, it should be capitalized, one like the Son of Man. Now, we are living in New Testament times, as we call it, and we're living in a time when we look in reverse at Jesus. We know that He's already came at Bethlehem. We see Jesus as already going to the cross and dying for our sins. We know Jesus as the one who was resurrected from the grave on day three. But what if you were Daniel, several hundred years before Bethlehem? And then now you're seeing, again, what Daniel knew in his heart. Much of it was still a mystery to him. But he's seeing God identify with humanity. Now, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. But here Daniel says, I see a God-man. Don't complicate it. I see a God-man. And He's coming with the clouds of heaven. Now, there's a lot of discussion on this. Is this the return of Jesus Christ where He's coming back? Or is this where Jesus has received His kingdom and His power? I would say don't let it get too complicated, because look at the verse. Coming with the clouds of heaven. Now keep it in context. Let's see what He's coming to do. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him. They brought God near before God. And they brought Jesus near before the Father. or back to God. And they brought God near before God. You see, God took on the form of a man. And the picture that Daniel is trying to say us is tell us is this. He's saying, you remember when I was giving you these visions of all these empires and everything just a few minutes ago? Not us today, but several weeks ago. In the first few verses, about the first eight verses of Daniel chapter 7, he was having the vision of the empires. He's saying, there's something about this empire that's different. There's something about this kingdom that is different. There's something about this kingdom because it has a God king. And in this God kingdom, it is an indestructible kingdom. And it is a kingdom by which all nations and peoples from, you don't have to just be from Babylon, or you don't just have to be from Israel, or you don't just have to be from Africa. You don't have to just be from India or China or Japan. You can be from anywhere in the world, and you can come to know this God-man. You can come to know this Son of Man. And this Son of Man has come in the clouds, and they knew in the Old Testament what that meant. When we see the term clouds, in fact, I had a dream last night because I was so focused on clouds, and I dreamed I was looking up at the clouds, and I could see all these different swirls and turns and shapes in the clouds, and I know it was from just concentrating on these scriptures. And this morning, I went out, and I was drinking my coffee, and I went to go outside, and it was pouring down rain, so I put the rocking chair right up there in front, pulled the blinds up, and I looked up to look at the clouds, and I realized, wow, that was definitely a dream last night, because there ain't nothing but dark and rain. And so in that dream, I'm looking at those clouds, but when they heard about the cloud, it took them back to the wilderness wanderings. When they had made the tabernacle, and the Bible says that God would appear in a pillar of cloud, and he would lead them with the pillar of cloud. Matter of fact, when Moses went up on the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, if you remember, the Bible says there was a thick cloud that surrounded him, and God spoke out of the cloud. You say, what is the cloud? The cloud symbolizes and represents the presence, power, and glory of God. That's what it represents. We can't see spirit, but we can put a picture together in our mind of a cloud. And he's saying that he is like a cloud. In fact, to those that were on the ground looking up at the mountain, you know what they said? The Israelites that were down there at the base of the mountain, they were on there. They couldn't get very close lest they die, but they could get so close. They'd look up and they say it was like a consuming fire. Moses walked into that thick cloud, and God spoke to him. God gave him the two tablets of stone of the Ten Commandments. And so this Jesus is about to receive a transfer of some power. Look at verse 14, and then we'll hit. I'm going to kind of connect some cloud stuff to this as well. But look at the next verse. He says, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. You see the gospel unfolding? We have the Son of Man coming to the Father. We have a transfer taking place of dominion, glory, and a kingdom. By the way, you remember what John chapter 10, verse 18 says. Whenever Jesus was preparing his disciples as well as himself for the cross, he said that God has given me a command. He has given me power to lay my life down and to raise it up. You see, he had already, even by John 10, he had already received all kinds of authority and power. We see that in the miracles he worked. We see that he was conceived of the Holy Spirit when he was born at Bethlehem. Now, exactly when the transitions took place, I'm not sure. I know when there are some transitions of things that took place, because we can see it in the Bible. But exactly when this takes place, I'm not sure. Some say, oh no, this is when the millennial kingdom comes, and this is when he receives that. Some say, oh no, this is when he received his dominion and his power. And it reminds me, when we think like that, it reminds me of a man that was walking in a residential neighborhood. He's walking down the road, and he sees a man at the door of his house, and he's trying to deal with this wash machine. And he can tell the man is struggling with the wash machine, so he walks up the driveway and he says, sir, do you need some help? He said, sure, this thing is heavy and bulky and I can't do anything with it. So they wrestle with that thing for 5 or 6 minutes, and I mean, they're just exhausted. The two men sat down and they're going to take a break for a second, and they just look at each other like, good gracious. And so finally they get rested up and they stand back up and they go to get the wash machine again. And the man, the neighbor that was helping, he said, I don't think that we'll ever get that thing in there. And the owner of the house looked at him and said, "In there, I'm trying to get it out of here." There's a miscommunication in that deal somewhere. Now, we tend to fight with a washing machine every time we talk about prophecy. Every time we talk about prophecy, there's one group that's trying to push the washing machine in the house. Another group's trying to get the washing machine out of the house. And before you know it, we're just struggling with each other until we're exhausted. I tell you, there's one thing. You may be a preterist, or you may be a post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib, sometime trib. You may be amillennialist, premillennialist, preterist. Did I say preterist? All the different things. But let me tell you something that every born-again believer unites on. Every born-again believer agrees on. And here it is. You know what it is? Christ is coming back. Amen. That's where the focus is supposed to be. Christ is coming back. Now, there's going to be scholars on every side of the aisle. Somebody's got to be wrong somewhere. Somebody got to be wrong, because there's well-meaning scholars that have differing views. Are they less Christian than our view? No. They're not any less Christian. You see, Jesus is coming back. And Jesus could come today. He could come before we walk out of this church. He's coming back. And the Bible says that every eye will see him, even those that pierced him. And you say, well, how can that be? How can every eye see him? How can those that pierced him see him when he comes back? Because God will raise the wicked to be judged. The wicked will be raised up. They will have physical eyes and be judged in the body by which they sinned in. They're going to be raised up. You see, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, that the last enemy to be destroyed is what? Death. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. That's going to be the very culmination right there. Now, why are we saying this? We're fixing to take the Lord's Supper here in just a few minutes. And in the Lord's Supper, there's elements. There's bread, and there's the cup, the wine. We don't have real wine. Ours has got grape juice or something, whatever Kent's put in there. I'm not real sure. You'll find out in a few minutes. But we use bread, and we use the cup to symbolize the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've been born the first time, then you've been naturally born. But if you've been born the second time, you've been spiritually born, and you were born, why? Because you have partaken, spiritually speaking, of these two elements. You have given your heart to Jesus Christ. And you have said, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I'm running from you, that I'm headed in the wrong direction. And there's not one thing that I can do, not one single work that I can do that would earn my salvation. But what you did at the cross, what you did at Calvary, what you did when you resurrected from the grave and was accepted by the Father, payment was made on my behalf. And God, I accept that on my behalf." That's what being born again is. There's a saying that to be born once, you'll die, but to be born twice, you'll live. You was born naturally, but you got to be born again. And so what Daniel is showing us here is a picture of the gospel. And I'm almost done. I want to give you your last point just to move along here. So Jesus had received, number two, dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Okay? By the way, did God divest himself of his power when he did that? No, not at all. God did not divest himself of his power. I look at it like this. I get online sometimes and I'll mess with my bank accounts. I've got more than one bank account. Got savings accounts and different things. Sometimes I transfer money. And so if you transfer money in your account from one account to the other, did the money lose its power or value when you transferred it? No. I still own the money. It just went from account A to account B. See the difference? God never divested himself of his power, but because Jesus was the one to whom came to this earth to die for sinners like you and I, he says, "Son, let me give you some power. Son, you're going to have a kingdom, and it's going to be an everlasting kingdom, and it will be indestructible," which is your third point. It's an everlasting kingdom, and it is indestructible. It is a kingdom that will not end like Babylon did, like Greece did, like all the other kingdoms in the world will end. One day they'll end, but not the kingdom of Jesus Christ. One day, even the United States will be a kingdom that will end. One day, every kingdom on planet Earth will find its final day. It will no longer have another day left in it. It will come to the very climax. It will come to the very end. But guess what kingdom will still be going? It'll be the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the saints of God will possess. You and I will live for eternity. You say, well, I'm getting old. No problem, because you're going to get young real quick. As a born-again believer, you live for eternity with the Lord. And that is exciting. And you'll live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message of Daniel chapter 7 right here. It is a kingdom which shall not pass away. And the one at the very end of verse 14, which shall not be destroyed. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're fixing to take the Lord's Supper. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I want to ask you to examine your heart. Look to the Ancient of Days. Realize you have a hope that is greater than any hope that this world could ever offer. Examine your heart that you know Jesus, first of all, that you have surrendered your life to Him and given your heart to Him, and that you've trusted Him by faith through grace. Secondly, examine your heart. Am I allowing sin to take over my life? Am I getting into this sin and getting into that sin and drifting away from the Lord? Because if you belong to Jesus, chastisement is on the way, because God chastises those He loves. Every time we get chastised, we should say, "Thank you, Jesus. Even though it hurts." That means He loves you and you're His child. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the spirit of what you came to do for us. You remembered us. And Lord, now we come to remember you. Lord, one day you said to do this until you come. One day you're going to come and we're going to get to experience the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is different than the Lord's Supper. And Lord, we're looking forward to that. And Father, we pray that we'll be ready for the marriage supper. That we'll be ready with smiles on our faces, that we've given you our all, not part of us, but all of us, to your service and to your glory. Lord, examine our hearts. Convict us of sin. Help us, Lord, to ask for forgiveness and repent of that sin. And Lord, may you be glorified, and may you be honored in the bread and in the cup today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd. If you've been blessed by this radio ministry, or if you've made a decision for Christ, or are in need of prayer, we would love to hear from you at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas. Give us a call, 903-882-3890. Thank you, and God bless.